Do you know someone who can benefit from this radio program? You can find the complete archives of this show and hundreds of others at naturalnewsradio.com. Just send your friend that link, naturalnewsradio.com, where they will find truly amazing interviews and information that simply isn't published anywhere else. In the Natural News Radio archives, you'll find interviews with Dr. Andrew Wakefield, Senator Rand Paul, Governor Jesse Ventura, Suzanne Summers, alternative cancer doctors, nutrition experts, preparedness experts, and a wealth of others. And it's all free. Listen in real time at naturalnewsradio.com or download the MP3 archive files anytime you want to listen on your phone, mobile devices, or personal computer. When you want articles on these topics, check out naturalnews.com with over 35,000 article pages on nutrition, natural cures, health freedom, and much more. It's all part of the Natural News Network. Thanks for listening.
Hi, this is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. In uncertain times, you need gear you can count on. That's why I teamed up with Daniel Vitalis to launch SupplySource.com. It's a new online retailer offering extremely durable gear for emergency preparedness and long-term survival. Everything we offer survives my daily use test on a ranch in Texas, plus Daniel's outdoor endurance test in the rugged wilderness of Maine. Most of the stuff we test ends up in a pile of trash because it breaks. The stuff that doesn't break, we stock it on SupplySource.com. To get the site started, we've launched it with a line of rugged, reliable, waterproof LED flashlights, now chosen by military and law enforcement everywhere. And we'll soon be adding a whole new brand of emergency water filters, family defense gear, and urban survival tools. When you want your gear to really work, get it from SupplySource.com. Have you ever wanted to learn where you can get free food and medicine from the plants growing around your neighborhood? Or how to turn your own backyard into a food production center? Or even how to reverse cancers using the latest groundbreaking research in alternative cancer therapies? You can learn all this and more from webseed.com. It's sort of like Netflix, but it's for documentaries and how-to courses on natural health, food production, self-reliance, and other life-saving topics. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I created Webseed so that listeners like you could get instant streaming access to truly groundbreaking instructional courses. Our new program called Vaccines Armed and Dangerous exposes the total fraud of modern vaccine quackery, and our Surthrival course teaches emergency preparedness, including skills like how to build your own emergency water filter. Explore over 100 valuable courses and documentaries right now at WEBSEED.com.
Welcome to the Health Ranger Report with your host, Mike Adams.
Hello and welcome. This is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger with NaturalNews.com, and we've got a very interesting guest for you today. A secret guest who goes by the name Joe Nobody. Yeah, he actually protects his identity for reasons that you will soon discover for yourself. He's the author of numerous books, including one that I've read and have recommended called Holding Your Ground. And this book teaches you how to protect your house, your family, your apartment building, whatever it happens to be, in the case of social collapse or an outbreak of war, or rioting, or an economic collapse, or whatever the case may be. Protect your life and your property against looters and rioters, or just people breaking the law, running around doing crazy stuff, whether those people are civilians or governments, in fact. So it's a great book, extremely informative, and it's about much more than just, it's not just, you know, guns and bullets, although that's covered, but there's a lot more in it that's very intelligent. I thought this author was right on the money on these topics, so I invited him on. We were able to reach him, and he joins us today. Joe Nobody, thank you for joining me today.
Well, Mike, thank you very much for having me. It is truly a pleasure to be here, sir.
Well, I really appreciate your time, and it was quite difficult to actually contacting you because you do go by Joe Nobody, and you do protect your identity. Do you care to address that right here up front? Why is it important that you remain anonymous?
Sure, I'd be happy to. First of all, the name Joe Nobody, for those of your listeners that are not familiar with the training, shooting military, private military contractors, or PMC, It's very common to hear someone say, well, you know, I'm just a Joe Nobody, but can you show me that? I think it comes from the fact that it's an ever-evolving skill. You can always learn something. There's always a situation where somebody knows more than you do. So that's why I picked the pen name. The other reason was because I wanted to communicate to my readers that you didn't need to be a special forces guy. You didn't need to be in the physical condition of a Navy SEAL and run up and down the beach carrying logs or anything like that. The stuff in the book, the recommendations, pretty much anybody can do. If you can play tennis or play golf or even go for a long walk in the evening, you can handle what's in the book. And so that's kind of why we went that direction.
Well, that makes perfect sense. And folks, if you want to check out books by Joe Nobody, which I do recommend, go to Amazon.com. I think there are 4 books by this author right there on Amazon and maybe other booksellers as well. Just search for Joe Nobody and you'll find several. Let's talk about Holding Your Ground. I thought this was a very educational book. In fact, I'm using it in my own planning to protect my property and family against any unknown scenarios out there. What I liked about your book there, Joe, is that it's, you know, some of it really is like Sun Tzu and The Art of War, where it gets into the mind games and the mindset and the psychology of safety or encouraging people to move on and not hit your house. Can you address that and why that's an important element in your book?
Well, I think the book really divides in the beginning into 2 types of defense or defensive profile that you can set up for your location. And that may be your primary home, your bug out location, maybe a camper that you towed off to hide in the woods somewhere. But there are really in the grand scheme of things, there's 2 major categories of defense. There is an active defense. I'm loud, I'm proud, I'm going to kick your butt if you come near me. And then there's also a passive defense, which a lot of people would. And I recommend heavily in the book and to your listeners, always go with the passive defense if it is possible. The single biggest shortcoming or the single biggest thing that I have with them on stuff like this is that they normally have very little understanding of ultimate violence. They have very little understanding of what someone who is not afraid of punishment or who is religiously zealot or motivated, as we have encountered in the Middle East for years, someone who doesn't have anything to lose, they're desperate. You will be shocked and surprised what that person will do to get what they want. And we Americans, fortunately, you know, we have it pretty good. It's pretty safe overall statistically. But if it all does fall apart and there's no fear of punishment, I don't think the average American citizen is ready for what might hit them.
I think so, you are.
Tight works.
You're exactly right in that, Joe. I concur with you. As someone who's lived outside the country, who's lived in South America and developing nations, and who has seen violent crime committed against innocent people, I totally concur with you. You know, we have this thin veneer of a polite society most of the time in the USA, and we've got this magical thing where you can call 911 and men with guns show up so that you don't have to have your own guns. At least that's what a lot of the mainstream city people believe. So they've been living in this sort of this alternate reality that could just fall apart very quickly, and then they're left with their own defense, the responsibility of their own defense, their own, you know, providing food for themselves, all of these things, and that mindset is very alien to most people today.
Well, absolutely, I run into folks all the time at training classes that. You know, and there's a short scenario in Holding Your Ground about it was actually a true encounter I had, and going out on your front porch with your duck gun, your shotgun, in a lot of cases is not a very good idea. If I am the bad guy, if I'm living by the gun, after a collapse, after, you know, in an anarchical society, I'm not even going to come close to your house. You're never going to see me. I'm going to stay back. I'm probably either scared or, you know, why risk it? I'm going to stay back and I'm going to hammer at you from a distance. So people, again, have to out of understanding desperation, understanding there's no reprisal, there's no fear of punishment anymore. How desperate will people get? And if you talk about South America, you can talk about South Africa. You can talk about the Middle East. You can even, if you will, go into parts of Europe, Bosnia, Herzegovina, what NATO went through, what a lot of, the genocide that happened there. So hiding in plain sight is always best. A passive defense. Make the bad guys go on. Make them pass you by. If that's not possible, then we also cover active defense and a lot of the things that you can do there to give yourself an advantage and survive.
Well, very good information, Joe, and I concur with that also. You know, standing in your doorway makes you a real easy target. Anybody who's trained with an AR-15 can take you out from 200 yards, easy, even with iron sights, if you're standing right there in your doorway. That's not a difficult shot. one of the things, well, first of all, let me mention, you've got another book on Amazon.com called Holding Their Own, which is a work of fiction that I haven't read the book, but I want to ask you about it. Does that depict a typical or a possible scenario of survival? Tell us about that book.
Absolutely. We had a lot of fun with that book. Holding, when it was first released, still is, was enormously successful. And I think a lot of people who are into self-reliance who prepare will tell you that sitting around reading all those old Army manuals and going through gun reviews and learning, you know, the proper seeds to put in the garden, that can all get a little mundane. So we wanted to write a novel that used the skills described in Holding Your Ground, but it was also fun. We wanted it to be entertaining. And one of the reviews I read on Amazon said it was a little bit of Tom Clancy, a little bit of Louis L'Amour, a little bit of Indiana Jones. So I don't recommend that the hero in the book, his name is Bishop. The book takes place in 2015. There is an economic collapse. I've received saying it was a very believable scenario for the collapse. And the hero and his wife just basically try to survive in a situation that, you know, a lot of people believe is very realistic and could easily happen.
Well, I look forward to reading that. I'm going to buy that right now, actually, from Amazon or after this and check that out. That sounds like a real good read. You know, getting back to some skills, we've got a few minutes left in this segment, but getting back to some skills, one of the things that concerns me about a lot of people today is that there are so many sales happening of firearms, which I'm not against that, but what I'm against is a lot of people buying firearms and then never learning how to, one, safely handle them, or two, effectively use them. They buy a revolver, let's say, put it in a drawer and never know what to do with it. And I think if you own one, you need to train with it. And I don't see a lot of training. Even just people shooting paper targets, that's not enough in my book. What are your thoughts on responsible firearms ownership?
Oh, absolutely. Learn the safety rules. They are there for a reason. They have been the same, at least since I was a kid. And that's a long time ago. Learn the rules, go out, go to an indoor shooting range. It's going to cost you $30 or $35 in most places. At least put a box or two through the weapon. Now, I shoot on average of 3,000 rounds a month. for various reasons. You don't have to do that. You don't have to be a NRA competition shooter or IPSC or any of the leagues, things like that. At minimum, go out, learn the safety, and then learn how the weapon operates. If you're scared, if you're frightened, and I have been there, things don't always go as smoothly as what they do in Hollywood movies.
Yeah. Right. And also, I noticed when everybody practices with firearms, it's daylight and, you know, everything's clear, no problems. And then they don't practice low light shooting. They don't practice administrative reloads at night. They don't practice transitions between a rifle and a pistol. They, you know, basically on the real battlefield, they're clueless.
I'll tell you an interesting thing that I teach my students. One of the first things I teach them is when you are scared, you're going to automatically, subconsciously try to hide behind the weapon. I don't care if it's a little pistol or a great big old deer gun. You will try to hide behind that weapon. You will try to get your body behind it. So when we're talking about stance, when we're talking about how you hold the weapon, go ahead and try to hide behind it while we're practicing. Another thing that I teach that so many people don't pay any attention to, can you operate the weapon one-handed? If you go look at the statistics, I think it's over 70% of the injuries to police officers and military is the hand or the arms. And if you lose one hand in a gunfight and there's nobody to back you up, you just can't go back and your buddies cover for you. If you're by yourself, you better know how to use that weapon with the offhand.
Yeah, that's a real good point. And there are some good instructional videos out there that show you how to rack the slide, how to do a one-handed reload, whether it's your good hand or your offhand. That's very good information. Getting off the firearms subject, though, what do you think about people who say, well, they're not comfortable with a firearm. They want to go with a non-lethal defense. Is that even practical to talk about, or is that just wishful thinking?
Well, Mike, I'm not really an expert on home intrusion. I think I've got a surprise for anybody that does come into my home uninvited, but that may or may not be. I do know this. Some years ago, I got involved in some testing of tasers, for example, and a heavy leather coat, a load vest, body armor, a heavy nylon jacket can oftentimes deflect the prongs. And maybe they've improved, I don't know, but I don't want my wife trusting one of those.
Right. Yeah.
What I do recommend often for non-lethal is if you have a shotgun is things like sandbag rounds.
Yep.
Or there are several non-lethal shotgun rounds that can work. I've seen demonstrations of those taking down a rather large energetic fellow.
And are those available in, for example, 20 gauge shells for maybe wives or you know, smaller stature people who can't handle a 12?
You know, I don't know. I have seen them in 12 gauge. I really don't know. I'm sure a quick internet search would probably turn something up. But I do know in a 12 gauge they are effective.
Yeah, I would imagine so. But you hear a lot of people in cities. Especially, you know, there are some cities where it's amazingly still illegal to defend your own home with a firearm. You know, you can get in trouble for that. And so I would say to those people, move out, you know, first of all, get out of there. But what if they're stuck there and they're asking about other kinds of options for defense? Well, look, I would say just they should read your book. So folks, check out the book, Holding Your Ground, get some ideas from there and then keep learning. Anything to add to that, Joe?
Well, if you are unable to use a firearm or can't legally own one in your locale, again, hiding in plain sight is your best bet for survival. There are several techniques in the book that are inexpensive.
Yeah, I like how you had instructions for painting what looked like smoke, you know, smoke burns onto your building. It's pretty interesting. You can actually put a lot of artistry into making your house look like it's already been burned out.
Yeah, and that will also cover wood smoke. I think a lot of people are going to count on wood if there is an event. And so, you know, that's always an indicator for sometimes quite a distance that there are living humans around.
Right.
And so that would also cover somewhat of a wood smoke smell, perhaps.
Well, very good information, Joe. I want to encourage our folks watching this to check out more video interviews here with Joe Nobody, who does have 4 books on Amazon.com. We're going to post some more interviews with him on YouTube as well as TV.naturalnews.com. And Joe, I want to thank you for this segment. Look forward to doing more interviews with you.
My pleasure, sir, and I really enjoy your work.
All right, that's the interview with Joe Nobody. Really interesting guy. Obviously, he has a lot of experience. We're going to find out more about Joe in some additional interview segments coming up right here on TV.naturalnews.com. In the meantime, stay informed, stay safe, stay prepared. This is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger for naturalnews.com. Hello and welcome, everyone. This is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger with naturalnews.com, coming to you from our Natural News studios in the heart of Texas, Austin, Texas in particular. And joining me today is a very special guest who's running for the City Council of Austin, Texas. Yes, you heard it here first. We don't normally cover local issues, but this matters because this woman is also an anti-fluoride activist, or should I say a pro-health activist, and she's already done some great work to protect Austinites and Texans from the ravages of chemical fluoride dumped into the water supply, and she's joining us here in the studio. So please welcome Laura Presley, Dr. Laura Presley. She has a doctorate in chemistry, and she is running for city council, and she's with us today right here. Laura, thank you for joining me today.
Mike, thank you. It's an honor to be on your show. Thank you.
Great to have you here. So it's big news. You're running for city council. Yes. Why would you ever want to undertake such a such
question.
A task?
Very good question. We've been working with Fluoride Free Austin for 3 years. Fluoride Free Austin has been trying to get the fluoride out of the tap water, and I've been testifying to the city council for the last year and a half on multiple topics, on the fluoridation issue, on getting the TSA scanners out of Austin. Mm. And what I found was on those two topics, the city council was not listening at all. And as I was sitting in these council meetings and I was watching other citizens come up with really important issues, they weren't listening to them either. And so it was a really pervasive behavior of this current council here in Austin, not listening to Austinites, not listening to the people they're supposed to be representing. Uh-huh. They somehow forget who they're supposed to be representing. And the big question we have is, who do they represent? And the answer is, you know, special interests that are you know, with a lot of financial backing.
Well, that sounds like corruption to me. I mean, is that too harsh of a word?
I don't know. Maybe a little, just a little. because it's hard. It's hard because why would there's 6 council members and a mayor in Austin, and good issues are brought to their attention and they do not respond. Issues that are blatant. I could go on and on about individual ones, but our
But you're here to shake up the status quo, it sounds like.
I mean,
the TSA,
yes, we are.
Big issue for freedom. I mean, you could set a precedent for the whole country,
yes,
actually.
You got it.
Fluoride, a big issue. Alex Jones and the InfoWars team exposed the hidden video of Austin dumping fluoride, highly corrosive toxic chemical, into the water supply.
Yes.
That went public now. And
yes,
you actually were a big part of that activism to get fluoride out, which is not yet out.
It's
right?
Not yet out. We've asked, you know, we even backed up with the council and we said, how about just put a warning on your water bill about fluoridation for babies and infants, which no one really disagrees that there's data out there, and there have been things that the American Dental Association and the CDC both have said, infants below 6 months should not be drinking fluoridated water. Their kidneys are not developed. They cannot filter this out the way adults can, and, you know, older kids, teenagers. And so we thought, oh, that's a slam dunk. And in Austin, we found out in May, there was the material safety data sheet of the fluoride chemical, hydrofluorosilicic acid, that they actually add to our water supply.
Yeah.
In May, the supplier came out with a material safety data sheet that had a warning for children. And I'm a chemist. I've been a chemist. Oh, gosh, I have spent 17 years in the semiconductor industry, and my background is photochemistry. And I've seen a lot of material safety data sheets in my career.
Sure.
And they're written as a warning for workers and for chemical handlers. And to see this warning for children in this material safety data sheet, it was just shocking.
But why, I mean, why would city council members in Austin, which is supposed to be a very progressive type of town,
yes,
in many ways, and it is, a lot of artists, a lot of raw foodies and vegans and, you know, whatever.
Organic industry.
Yeah, organic
Whole Foods.
Foods
is here.
Yeah,
now,
and there's a lot of good stuff about,
yes,
Austin. I love, yes, Austin in many ways, but why would the city council members allow a poison, which is a chemical byproduct of the aluminum or the phosphate processing industry,
yes,
and hydrofluorosilicic acid is not naturally occurring fluoride,
no,
from
it's not,
minerals. Why would they allow their own people to be poisoned?
That's a very good question, and we have been struggling with that for 3 years, because initially Fluoride Free Austin approached it as, let's present the science. There's been a lot of information in the last 10 years that's come out that was not there 20, 30, 40 years ago when all this, you know, started.
Yeah.
And so, very logical, let's present the science, let's bring in experts, PhDs, dentists, doctors. Dr. Paul Conant has spoken multiple times to Austin City Council.
Yeah.
And we think, oh, that's simple. Just bring the data, and the council members will go do the research on their own and come back with a really good answer for, you know, Austinites.
But that's a naive.
That's not what's happened.
No, that's like,
it was naive.
You expect them to be rational, science,
well,
understanding.
We've
people.
Seen other councils that are rational, and we can give some examples of that, but ours is not. And so we backed up. We said, what is this? Why could this be? Well, then we started approaching it from a political standpoint. Well, if the science is not working, let's approach it from a political standpoint. We started a lot of systems communications. Alex Jones did a huge thing for us, helped us get people out to the council meeting. So we had 100 people show up.
Yeah.
Not one person would say, keep the fluoride. And they still do nothing. So politics,
wow,
was even, you know, that type of level. So we've really done some research on why they're not doing it. And I think we've hit the nail on the head.
What is it?
The issue is our city council is very dependent on federal funding. And the Centers for Disease Control spends millions of dollars in grants in Austin for different programs, smoking cessation programs, obesity, education.
So they think if they pull fluoride, they're going to lose
That's
CDC grants?
That's what they think. You got it.
So they're basically on federal welfare and they're willing to poison Austin residents to keep getting paid from the feds?
This is the theory we have, because it's the only thing that makes sense. And when we bring this up in city council meetings, watching the body language of these council members, we've hit it on the head.
What do you mean?
There's a lot of body language that goes with being caught, you know, and you know, coughing and touching and covering their face.
Right.
And there's
right.
a lot of I do a lot of studying in body language, because some
people
are talking to you and they're not saying a word,
yeah,
you know. So the body language, and it's been over and over we've brought this up, and it seems to be the issue. And
have you ever taken a vial of hydrofluorosilicic acid to the city council and asked them to drink it?
No.
Do you think any of them would drink it?
Well, we do know that some of the council members and their staff know dearly that fluoride's not good. We have communications that staff members of the council will not drink fluoride and will not give it to their children.
Mm.
So why is what's good for them not good for the public?
That's the question.
That's the hard question that someone needs to be on that council asking that question and being a leader. I think they're scared. So here they're being driven by fear. I don't think they would cut the funding off for smoking or obesity education. But someone has to be on that council that's not scared and say, let's do this.
You know, it's kind of sad to run your local city politics based on how many paychecks you get from the federal government anyway. I mean, isn't that... That's what's wrong with our whole republic.
So,
is everybody's
yes.
on the public dole. This is like the Roman Empire right before the fall. Everybody was, you know, yeah. begging to the government, give
the
us
handout.
Money, give
the
us
handout.
Money. You know, that's a cowardice position to take. I'm glad you're
Why
standing up
Why don't we have volunteers that go to schools and talk about obesity issues? I would go into Austin
and talk about obesity.
You got it.
And it'd be better than CDC information, I guarantee
right.
you.
That's right. So again, I think there needs to be leadership on the council to say, you know what, I'm not afraid to talk about the real issues and to say, you know what, I know that you guys know the difference.
Yeah.
And what's good for us is good for the public.
All right, folks, if you want to support Laura Presley for the Austin City Council, and this has national implications because
yes,
if Austin removes fluoride, it could really set a precedent for the whole country and also the TSA issue. Go to her website, presleyforaustin.com, which we have up on the screen right here, presleyforaustin.com.
Do you know someone who can benefit from this radio program? You can find the complete archives of this show and hundreds of others at naturalnewsradio.com. Just send your friend that link, naturalnewsradio.com, where they will find truly amazing interviews and information that simply isn't published anywhere else. In the Natural News Radio archives, you'll find interviews with Dr. Andrew Wakefield, Senator Rand Paul, Governor Jesse Ventura, Suzanne Summers, alternative cancer doctors, nutrition experts, preparedness experts, and a wealth of others. And it's all free. Listen in real time at naturalnewsradio.com or download the MP3 archive files anytime you want to listen on your phone, mobile devices, or personal computer. When you want articles on these topics, check out naturalnews.com with over 35,000 article pages on nutrition, natural cures, health freedom, and much more. It's all part of the Natural News Network. Thanks for listening.
Hi, this is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. In uncertain times, you need gear you can count on. That's why I teamed up with Daniel Vitalis to launch SupplySource.com. It's a new online retailer offering extremely durable gear for emergency preparedness and long-term survival. Everything we offer survives my daily use test on a ranch in Texas, plus Daniel's outdoor endurance test in the rugged wilderness of Maine. Most of the stuff we test ends up in a pile of trash because it breaks. The stuff that doesn't break, we stock it on SupplySource.com. To get the site started, we've launched it with a line of rugged, reliable, waterproof LED flashlights, now chosen by military and law enforcement everywhere. And we'll soon be adding a whole new brand of emergency water filters, family defense gear, and urban survival tools. When you want your gear to really work, get it from SupplySource.com. Have you ever wanted to learn where you can get free food and medicine from the plants growing around your neighborhood? Or how to turn your own backyard into a food production center? Or even how to reverse cancers using the latest groundbreaking research in alternative cancer therapies? You can learn all this and more from webseed.com. It's sort of like Netflix, but it's for documentaries and how-to courses on natural health, food production, self-reliance, and other life-saving topics. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I created WebSeed so that listeners like you could get instant streaming access to truly groundbreaking instructional courses. Our new program called Vaccines Armed and Dangerous exposes the total fraud of modern vaccine quackery, and our Surthrival course teaches emergency preparedness, including skills like how to build your own emergency water filter. Explore over 100 valuable courses and documentaries right now at WEBSEED.com.
And how are you funding your election campaign? I mean, are you just taking donations from
people?
We're
taking donations. And interestingly, the incumbents have people they call, this term I don't know if you're familiar with, it's called a bundler. Have you ever heard of this
yeah,
term?
Yeah, the okay. Corporate bundlers.
Corporate
and so
bundlers.
On, yeah.
So they have, each of the incumbents have in common two or three bundlers that go out and get money for them. We don't have that right now.
Uh-huh.
So we are grassroots, and we're appealing to the anti-fluoride groups and liberty groups. Also, fluoridation.
Fourth Amendment people. Yeah.
The fluoridation is also an environmental issue.
Absolutely.
Last time I checked, salamanders and fish don't need to prevent cavities, all right? We don't need to be adding.
You don't need to be poisoning.
You don't need to be poisoning
the
them.
Yeah.
So it's an environmental issue and also an economic issue.
Is there a donation link on your website?
There is. There's a donation page. Go up at the top.
All right.
And contribute.
Oh, contribute. Okay.
That's us.
Let's go to that. Let's go to that page.
Oh, and we were pretty creative with this, too. We said,
here we go.
So scroll down. The max that people can contribute is $350 per person.
Or $700 per couple.
$700 per couple. And kind of scroll down.
Okay.
So We've got, so this is how I did the website myself, and so we were limited, and we had to be creative with the contribute page. So we have, if you want elected driven, proven to get results, non-bureaucrat, that's me, at the max. And then if you want other issues that are important to each person, and they can do multiples of 10 and donate that way. And
right
also on. We get data on what's important to our people that are donating.
By what they donate $10 to. Yeah. So let's talk about the key issues that you are in favor of. But real quickly, I want to mention to those watching, remember Ron Paul, when mm-hmm. he first got elected to Congress, and that was in a district in Houston, that was a national campaign to get a liberty person elected into Houston. And look what that grew into. Now, you know, a presidential candidate who is changing the shape of American history. So even if you're not in Austin, Texas, or Texas at all, your support for Laura Presley can really help shift the whole conversation across the nation. Can you imagine a day announcing fluoride removed from Austin?
No, it's huge. It would be a ripple effect. And Dr. Paul Conant has said that Austin is at a very critical stage, and we could drive the rest of cities
absolutely
to reduce it. You got it.
Let's talk about your key issues. Okay. You're opposed to poisoning children in the water supply, which kind of makes sense.
Yes.
You're opposed to the TSA reaching in your pants and feeling your genitals. Why would you be opposed to that?
Well, personally, I'm a survivor of domestic violence, and I'm also a sexual assault survivor. So when I go through the TSA scanners, well, I won't go through them, first of all.
Yeah.
I absolutely opt
I won't
out
either.
Because health-wise, the scanners in Austin are microwave radiation.
Right.
All right? They're not the X-ray. They're microwave. They say that they're millimeter wave, radio waves. They're not. If you look at the information, I've gotten emails from the TSA supplier, L3 Communications,
uh-huh.
from their one of their directors, and gave me the actual frequency that the machines are being operated at. And
oh,
you
really?
Go on the electromagnetic spectrum that anybody can look up on the web and say, oh, it's not radio waves, it's microwave. So it's a microwave.
So you're being microwaved.
You're being microwaved at 10 times higher frequency than your oven or your cell phone.
Wow.
Period. That's data from them. So first of all, from a health standpoint, no one should go through these scanners. The interesting thing about their microwave scanners is they rotate. Think about your microwave oven, how it rotates.
Well,
you're not rotating in that scanner. It's rotating. So that's how you can tell the difference between the X-ray, which is kind of perpendicular, straight on,
uh-huh.
and then the microwaves scanners rotate.
They rotate around you?
Yes. It's like, zoop.
Oh, I've never been in one, so I don't know.
They have them in here in Austin at the airport, and then you go, they rotate.
Well, that's a whole nother scam, too. I mean, Alex Jones and the whole team marched on the Capitol building.
I was there.
You were there.
I was there, yes.
Many other patriots were there.
I testified the Senate committee on the scanners.
And then the feds threatened an economic embargo, essentially, against the state of Texas.
Yes.
Threatened to shut down all the airports in Texas if they didn't put in the scanners. That's like, somehow,
it's
insane.
No leadership.
Right.
No one, you know, fear. That fear seems to work with these, with our elected representatives.
Fear is the weapon of choice for tyranny.
Yeah.
But, okay, so I didn't mean to get off track.
TSA, anti-TSA. And so we have three major components of our campaign. For the health of Austin is what we say.
Yeah.
For individual health, the TSA scanners and the fluoridation issues and the water in general in Austin tastes like the bottom of Lake Austin. So there's... you shouldn't even be showering in it.
So yeah, it's pretty.
That's the bottom line. Okay?
Yeah, it's pretty heavily
chlorinated. I have friends in my neighborhood that won't even make their pancakes with the tap water because it makes the pancakes taste funny.
Of course.
So why are you eating? Why are you drinking it? So
why would anyone use tap water at all without filtering it?
And a lot of people don't. So the individual health, environmental health. There's fluoridation is a big issue with regard to the environment.
Yeah.
And actually was named one of the top 10 environmental stories of Austin. We made that.
Oh,
the
good.
Austin Chronicle did
good.
That.
Is the Austin Chronicle giving you a fair shake so far?
They have.
That's good.
They have been very fair with us, and I'm impressed. I am. I think they realize that there's a lot of new things that could happen with different leadership. I think they realize that.
You know, Austin is positioned as just a wonderful city. That it's got technology,
yes.
It's got energy related. I mean, it's got food and nutrition and agriculture related. I mean, it is a city that's got so much talent and, you know, great people. You know, there's no reason why we should be poisoning all those people with fluoride. It doesn't make sense.
That's right. So one of the other topics with regard to the environment is, it's interesting, Austin Energy is a profit center for the city. The profits of Austin Energy, their profit margin is about 17 to 20%.
Really?
Yes.
And they provide the electricity?
They provide electricity. They have a profit margin. And that profit margin, that profit goes into the general fund, which funds a lot of these programs in Austin.
I hear a lot of complaints about this company.
Yes.
A guy who moved into town recently said he wanted to move out just from dealing with Austin Energy.
Yes, yes. So there's a lot of issues.
Do they have? Do they not know what customer service means?
They don't.
Do they think they're in the Republic of Austin or something?
They're a monopoly.
They're a monopoly.
That kind of helps protect them. So anyway, they are. Yeah. They really require a profit. And imagine if you conserved energy. They don't get the profits.
Right, so they're not into
conservation. So it's this kind of conflict. So Austin is supposed to be this green, solar, you know, low pollution, you know, city.
Yeah.
And if you really conserve energy, you do not allow the profit to happen. And so they tax you anyway, even though you didn't use it.
Wow.
And so this has been a big issue right now with regard to the utility rates because they didn't get the profits they wanted. And they want to have huge, large reserves. They've proposed these large taxes on Austinites. And there was a slew of people, maybe 200 people, that came out last Thursday and fought against these price increases. So from an environmental standpoint, we're not where we need to be.
It sounds like it's just another gang.
Yes.
Well, the energy company is another gang, and the city council kind of acts like a gang. You know, gangs like to have their territory, take money from everybody, shake down everybody, give us your money. You know, threaten to shut you down if you don't comply, that kind of thing. Sounds like a mob.
It's what I think is happening. The city council, again, it's a leadership issue. They're not asking the hard questions. What happened with this rate increase and that all of the city came together and said, you're going to raise the rates for those that are low income, and those that could afford it came out and said, don't do it. Don't do it because it's going to affect churches who help the homeless. And it was an amazing display of just a big tongue-lashing they gave the city council and
really?
Austin Energy. And we're all united. It was phenomenal. The meeting went to midnight.
Wow.
And but what I want to say is the leadership, the council, it should have never gotten to that point. The council should have said, there's no way we can do this. There's no way we're going to bring this to the people of Austin because they wouldn't even give us a moment's rest if we did.
Right.
But they did it anyway. So again, it's the leadership. They're not asking the hard questions of the Austin Energy group. And if that's not happening, they're not listening to Fluoride. They're not listening to ESA. They're not listening to the citizens about the cost of
energy. Sounds like
they're
energy. Just out of touch.
They're out of touch.
I mean, are they wealthy people who don't live in the real world anymore? Or are they driven by, are they worshipped with like egomaniacs? Or what's the deal? I mean, I don't know them, so I'm just throwing out ideas. What's the deal?
I don't know. I think that the council members live within, because they're at large seats. They live right in the center of Austin, so you don't have to have geographical representation. And we're trying to get, and our campaign is really supporting a complete geographical representation for the Austin Council.
Like district.
Yes, districts. So that you and your neighborhood can go to the person that you've elected and sit in their office. They live where you live. They know the issues, and they know they have to drive from South Austin to North Austin because they live south.
Yeah.
And they know the traffic issues.
And it's a totally different culture in different parts of the city.
Absolutely.
South Austin versus Northwest Austin.
It is so different.
Versus West.
So diverse.
Whatever. Yeah.
So we're supporting the district thing because I think that's really the root cause of why they're not addressing our issues, because they don't live it, they don't know it. And the last thing we're supporting is the economic health of Austin.
Mm.
Again, they spend millions of dollars of our tax dollars outside of the state and outside of Austin when there are viable companies here.
They're
exporting jobs, exporting our tax dollars. And the Texas legislature actually passed a rule that councils now can give a certain amount of points to local companies so that you keep the dollars there. And the city of Austin had not implemented that. Our campaign brought this up in December, and we found out that there's been this change that's happened with the Texas legislature and the council and the procurement office. The bureaucrats in the city government had not implemented this. And we brought that up, and now they're going to implement it. And imagine, if you could keep our dollars in our city,
sure.
That's huge,
yeah.
Instead of ship it out. When there are companies here, helps jobs.
There's unemployment here that's rampant.
That's how they can directly affect jobs, not by giving subsidies to a bunch of developers and stuff,
right,
but to actually invest our dollars here in our own people. It's huge.
But if you were elected to city council, don't you think you'd be in a position where you're sort of the lone wolf person and you'd be attacked by the other good old boys and so on? Or
that's a good question. And
what do you think?
What's happening is there are a couple of other people that are getting into the race that are a little bit more in touch with the citizens of Austin. And also, like I said, I think it's a leadership issue, Mike. If you just had one or two people that were different and said, I'm not scared, let's do this, let's ask these hard questions. The other thing about the council is that there's nobody on that council right now that has a technology, computer, networking, semiconductor background. And Austin's huge into this.
With Dell
and so I think they're just not asking those really hard, difficult business questions that will, you know, drive the market and not give subsidies to these. You know, I'm not getting a subsidy, you know, as a small business owner.
No, subsidies are just generally a bad economic policy.
Alex Jones is not getting a subsidy,
and he says
that all the time.
No, he's not. We're not getting a subsidy.
No, you're not. So I think it's a leadership issue. Someone who will step up and provide a vision and a leadership, and I think there's a couple of those council members that just need somebody to be the hard, kind of say the hard things. That's
what
I think.
Well, I'm glad you're running for city council, Laura.
Thank you. We're excited. We are.
Yeah,
first time, never run for anything. So
really,
yes.
Oh
first
man.
Time.
Well, if you want to support Laura Presley for Austin City Council, check out her website presleyforaustin.com, and you can make donations there as well.
Thank you, Laura.
I want to wish you the best, and I'd like to invite you back to give us an update as things progress.
Oh, I'd love to.
All right, I'd like to see you on the council. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
You've been watching an interview with Laura Presley and myself, Mike Adams, Health Ranger for naturalnews.com, now located in Central Texas. And so we are covering some local issues that have national implications like this one. Thanks for watching. Take care. Hello and welcome. This is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger with naturalnews.com. Today talking to you about freedom in America. And joining me is a great freedom fighter. I don't know, not really a fighter, an advocate, a very intelligent person who writes a lot of articles, who advocates some very important positions. He's the deputy director of the 10th Amendment Center, and he writes also for thelibertyvoice.com. His name is Bryce Shonka, and he joins us to talk about a new law in Utah that could challenge the federal government's power grab over states' rights. Hey, Bryce, how you doing today, man?
Great, Mike. Thank you for having me on. It's an honor always to be with you.
It's good to have you on. Thanks for joining us. So tell us about this Utah law. What's going on with that? Was it just recently passed? And does it have a chance of actually challenging the federal government's typical power grab over everything that happens in every state in America?
Well, it's in the introduction stage right now. It's called the Utah Intrastate Commerce Act. And it's essentially another step in the same line as the Firearms Freedom Act that was passed in Utah 2 years ago. And that basically says that if something is produced and sold and remains in the state, then it's not interstate commerce, it's intrastate commerce. And therefore, federal regulations under the Interstate Commerce Clause do not apply.
But as you are well aware, even U.S. Supreme Court rulings have consistently betrayed the original language of the Constitution and have, in effect, granted the federal government the, quote, right to interfere in intrastate commerce. That's their interpretation of the Commerce Clause. Do you anticipate this Utah law going to a Supreme Court challenge and trying to strike down that previous interpretation?
Well, the question that we always come to at the 10th Amendment Center is who is the final arbiter of what is constitutional and what is not constitutional? Because as the Constitution applies to the federal government, it only has supreme authority in things that are pursuant to the Constitution. So if the federal government tries to do something that's outside of their enumerated powers, then it's in essence unconstitutional. And the question is, who decides what is constitutional and what is not? I have a hard time believing that the founders intended for the Supreme Court, an unelected group of people that you know, have their own interests in mind and are part of the federal government. I have a hard time believing that the founders intended for them to be the final arbiters to decide what is constitutional and what is not. So when you look at the relationship between the federal government and the states, that being the states created the federal government and it's their servant, then the idea is that we, the people, are the ones who are the final arbiter of what is constitutional and what is not constitutional. We're at the top of the food chain in the American system of government. And so in a state like Utah, if there's a consensus that what, you know, S-510 does, for instance, is not within the enumerated powers of what the federal government is supposed to be doing, then it's that state's ability to turn that away and say, no, this is not going to apply in Utah.
Well, that brings up a really interesting point. So what you're explaining is that the federal government, let's say, is here. The Supreme Court rules over the federal government, but above the Supreme Court is the states and then the people. The people are the highest source of power that then grants power to the states or that grants limited powers to the federal government and so on and so forth. Is that consistent with what you're saying?
Yeah, that's essentially the remarkable aspect of what was created when the U.S. Constitution was ratified.
Right.
You know, it was the first government in the history of mankind that put the people at the top and said that the ruling class was actually at the bottom, that they were our servants.
But once again, it comes down to how is this going to be enforced? Because the federal government has men with guns, you know, it has TSA agents, it has FBI agents, it has men and women with guns who will come in and say, we have the right because we're the people with the guns. I mean, you know, isn't it essentially, at some point, doesn't the state have to almost threaten the federal government to back off with force in order to protect its own sovereign rights?
Sure. And there's another bill in Michigan that has just been introduced, for example, that deals with the TSA that says that if somebody is groped or touched in a way that where there's no probable cause for the search, that agent is liable to be fined and imprisoned. And so that's the kind of language we're talking about here. The Interstate Commerce Act hasn't been introduced in its final form yet. It's in the beginnings of the campaign, but it would be something along those lines that would say if a, you know, if a USDA agent or an FDA agent came in and tried to shut down something, then they could be looking at action from, you know, either the county sheriff or state personnel whose duty it is to interpose on behalf of we the people and the people of Utah.
I do see a conflict coming sooner or later between some local sheriff and a group of deputies who would have to arrest federal agents who are violating state law and local law. I can see many possible scenarios in which that might be called for. In fact, not just an act of rebellion, but an act of abiding by the law. Do you think such a conflict is coming in our near future in America?
I think it's already here. If you look at, I believe it was Elkhart, Indiana, last year, you had a local sheriff who decided he'd had enough of these Gestapo raids on dairy farmers and actually stepped in and started to interpose in that situation. You've got, you know, a few months ago in California, you had 7 California sheriffs and 1 Oregon sheriff that came together for a large public forum. There must have been a couple hundred people there in attendance. And the message that they all agreed on was, we haven't been doing our job under the Constitution up until now. We realize that we've been, you know, letting we the people down, and we're ready to stand up and push back against federal overreach. So this is happening all over the place. You've got Sheriff Richard Mack is kind of really pushing this angle and getting the message across to many, many sheriffs across the republic.
Yeah, Richard Mack is doing some great work. He's definitely a true hero of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. We wish him support. Maybe we'll have him on the show and do an interview with him. But let me ask you this. There's anytime states try to stand up for their own rights, their own sovereignty against the federal government, we often see the feds making threats. For example, in Texas, when the Texas legislature was attempting to pass a bill that would have outlawed illegal searches by the TSA, the federal government essentially came in and threatened an economic embargo against the state of Texas, threatening to shut down all air traffic to and from the state. Now, that's an act of war. I mean, there's no other way to put it.
Yeah, and if you ask most Texans, and most of the ones I've spoken to, view that as being absolutely let down by their Senate. Their House passed it unanimously, and then the Senate was intimidated by the federal government, and so they backed down. But the bottom line is, these are threats. If states all over the Republic are doing things like this, the federal government does not have the resources to bring men with guns to, 25, 35 states and crack down on, a host of different issues.
Well, that's why they signed the NDAA, Bryce, because now then they can legalize the use of U.S. military troops. Could that be part of their plan?
Oh, I'm sure. Well, if you ask me, it's all about intimidation. It's all bark, no bite. I don't think that they have the ability to actually crack down the way that they have, tried to create the image of. And in terms of the NDAA, that's another thing that in Washington State, I just spoke with Representative Matt Shea yesterday, and he's working on a bill to turn back the NDAA in Washington as being unconstitutional. So that's beginning as well. I think that the cat's out of the bag and that we, the people, are really starting to wake up and realize that the relationship has been reversed for far too long, and that we need to start telling the feds what to do instead of being intimidated and allowing ourselves to be bullied by the District of Columbia.
Well, what we see historically is that usually the tyranny has to get so bad that there's a backlash and people stand up for their rights and demand them. And the question is, has the tyranny become bad enough yet to wake people up? I mean, I think that process has begun, but I don't think it's yet bad enough for a lot of people to wake up out of their comfort zones and out of their hypnosis and out of their fluoride-induced psychosis to really realize what's going on. We've only got 2 minutes left, Bryce. What do you think is going to happen here in terms of people waking up to this?
It's going to continue to get worse, and more people are going to continue to wake up. And that trend will be that way until the people wake up. That's the only force of resistance that could turn it around. And we are definitely starting to see that right now.
All right. Give us your website information so people can learn more about 10th Amendment Center and the LibertyVoice.com, where you write. What are those website addresses, Bryce?
Sure. It's 10thAmendmentCenter.com, T-E-N-T-H. You will find a whole host of different bills that are happening across the country. We have a legislative tracking page where you can see everything, TSA bills, food freedom bills, you name it. So you can track it all right there. And then thelibertyvoice.com is another site I work for that deals with news, deals with liberty-oriented news in a nonpartisan way. And it's getting bigger and bigger all the time.
Hey, let me ask you, by the way, what about Ron Paul right now? Here we are in early 2012. Ron Paul, despite the fact that they're trying to really game all the elections against him, and they've already been caught fabricating or modifying results to try to push him down, but he's still becoming a top receiver of votes in the caucuses. What do you see ahead for Ron Paul in 2012?
I think that trend is going to continue. I've read many progressive blogger articles saying, I voted for Obama last time, and this time I'm voting for Ron Paul. I think that the truth is really getting out now. And the beauty of the GOP primary process, a lot of people don't know this. I just wrote an article about this on Liberty Voice last week after the New Hampshire primary. After every primary, delegates are sent from that state to the RNC. But those delegates, unlike the Democratic primary process, those delegates are not bound to vote for a particular candidate.
Huh.
So even if Ron Paul loses every single primary, comes in second to Romney in every single primary, he still has a healthy shot of getting the nomination.
That's interesting. So that must mean they're really going to try to control or twist the final vote at the RNC.
Yeah, which will be difficult because, of course, that count is a visible number of people standing in a certain place on the floor. So they can't do that one with voting machines.
Well, they can do it with holograms.
Yeah.
They'll try anything, man. They'll have people appearing magically like elves and fairies out of the woodwork.
Well, I don't think they're going to see that one coming. And, you know, 4 years ago when I was working on Ron Paul stuff, they were already beginning to prepare to have delegates in place who were Liberty people.
Uh-huh.
And you can bet they're not voting for Romney.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thanks for joining us today, Bryce. Always good to check out the latest news from you. Will you join us again if you've got any breaking news on the Freedom Front?
Absolutely. Anytime.
All right. Thanks for joining us. It was Bryce Shonka, everybody, from the 10th Amendment Center. Check out his website, 10thAmendmentCenter.com. He also writes for the LibertyVoice.com. Got a lot of great information. And we will be checking in with Bryce from time to time, especially on the issues of states' rights. And this is a fascinating trend happening in America today, where more and more states are asserting their rights against an overzealous and sometimes tyrannical federal government.